Warning, what you're about to hear may cause uncontrollable sadness of the heart, running of makeup, and spontaneous ugly crying. Attempting to keep a put-together appearance may be complicated. If confronted by someone in public about these symptoms, the Root Note simply recommends you share this episode with them. For those about to listen, Godspeed. We'll all get through this together.
The following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. This episode is produced a little differently. When Caitlin reached out to me, she thought it best to answer the questions I asked her in story form. And I'm glad she did. It turned out really good. So instead of telling you who she got the song written for, I'll let her tell you. And my wife, Chrissy. While Chrissy is reciting the story that Caitlin told me, Caitlin is going into more detail during the interview. Y'all are smart, you'll figure it out. This is Hit the Road.
Pauses. You cut out the whole part of that story. You cut out the whole point of this story, which is how her and her dad started singing at the same time. My mouth is on fire.
I know, she tells a story.
Okay, so that's why you cut it out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do like a fade out of you and her coming in.
Okay.
I am interested in hearing this story. You said that you long to... Oh, I read that wrong. It's karaoke. I thought it said I wanted karate with my mom.
That would be a fun story.
Call is now being recorded.
In July 2014, I left the father of my three children. It was not a good relationship, and he managed to get himself thrown in jail. Little did I know just how much our lives were going to change.
I was young. I was only 15 when I met him, and I was 17 when I had my first child, so I don't even think I was driving before I had a kid. I hadn't got my driver's license. I hadn't had my first job. He wasn't capable of holding down a job, so all of our money, what little we had, was going towards kids and rent and, you know, just getting by. And when I left, I had to quit my job because I didn't have anyone to watch the kids. And, I mean, I really started from the bottom. Well, as you can imagine, as you get older, it just, things change, and I grew up and he didn't. And I was ready to grow up and be a mom, and he was still doing things that, you know, when you've got a family and you've got kids, it's time to leave some stuff in the past, and he wasn't ready for that.
I remember being with my ex, and my only escape from him was when I got in the car and could listen to my music and sing. The song that really changed the way I felt inside and gave me a new sense of life was Play It Again by Luke Bryan. It brought a spark back in my soul, and I hadn't felt that in a long time.
The first time I heard that song, I actually changed the station because it was almost a little repetitive, and I was like, oh, more repetitiveness. But the second time I heard it, I was like, oh, it's a sunny day. The windows are down. I'm like, okay, I can feel this. I like this. And that, I guess that second time was that feeling of being okay again. And that just happened to be what was on the radio at that time. That was when I rediscovered music, because that was, he always controlled the radio. He listened to a lot different style of music than I liked, and I was able to just take a moment to myself and breathe again for the first time. That was the first time I remember feeling okay again and just being like, I missed this, you know?
At 16, I got pregnant and dropped out of high school. When I was 22, I felt like I had nothing.
After our third child, you know, I kind of said, I can't do this by myself anymore. And wasn't very long after she was born that I made the choice to go move back in with my parents and try to move on with life. and hopefully make a better life for them that I couldn't give them where I was. Emotionally, I was very distant from everybody. So it was, there wasn't much. I also struggled with depression. So I was at a really low point. So probably the lowest I could be. So finding my strength for myself and the kids are pretty much the only thing that kept me going for a long time.
What I did have, though, was amazing support. Within the first few months of being single, I had reached out to an old friend who was moving out of state. I thought that was going to be what we really needed. Then I tried to work on everyday life, just trying to go through and see what we should do, what's going to be best for us.
Trying just to figure out, how am I supposed to work? How am I supposed to get myself to a point where I can support my family, mentally, emotionally, physically, with a job?
I decided I needed to get my GED. I also got my job back working weekends because I didn't have childcare. So during the week, I would attend classes, and on weekends, I would work.
My aunt was a head housekeeper at a hotel, so I did housekeeping, and I was able to, at first, just work on the weekend with her until I could figure out childcare during the week. And then I started going, working 6 days a week, and then spending 2 days going to those classes. There's actually a lot of churches that offer a lot more programs than anybody would ever know. Just real general classes. There's a program here. Well, there's several. They offer teachers or tutors to come in and kind of say, let's go through all of the basics and try to cover everything that might be on the test and see where you struggle and where you can do better and where your strong points are.
So here I am, starting my life. I have my GED, a job, and I've managed to get two friends because previously my ex had cut me off from everyone. I still felt so helpless and stuck. Let me also say that while my parents were happy to have us there, my youngest sister was just turning 18, and my parents were ready to live their life as empty nesters. Needless to say, that is yet to happen. So in comes online dating.
Just for the fact that I didn't know anybody, like I said before, I didn't have any friends, very little family, and I just didn't have anybody to talk to, hang out with, nothing. So I got on, I don't even remember the app at this point, but I found a dating app and I went on there just to try to meet people. So the way that my fiance and I actually managed to find each other was a complete fluke.
I met Nick, my now fiance. After I met Nick, our lives really started changing for the better. And the best way that it has changed, he has helped me work through so many things that I had going on internally and brought me back to here and now. He gave me the things I was missing, so I can give so much to my kids. In my opinion, this is a love that should have never happened. Before we started dating, we realized the distance and decided to just be friends because 600 miles apart was crazy.
I had a handful of people that I considered friends and talked to regularly, and one of them was my fiance. Didn't know that that's how that was going to turn out at the time. We started talking. We're interested in each other and then exchanged phone numbers after a while. And I saw his area code was different than mine. And I said, where are you at? And he's like, oh, well, I'm in Mississippi. Where are you? I was like, oh, I'm in Indiana. And he's like, I don't know how this happened, but I guess the relationship's out of the picture.
But he was always there for me, even over text. He seems to always text me right away when I need someone. He listened to me, and I called him out on his bull. And believe it or not, he liked it. I made him be himself, and he let me lean on him, which is something neither of us had ever had. Nick and my dad have always been so great.
I have a very similar sense of humor, which is great, because that's where I get my humor from. And not very many people in the family or friend circle really do. My dad has a very strong dad joke sense of humor. He likes to play on words and I don't know how to explain it so well.
Puns?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. I love puns, by the way.
Yeah, me too. They're great. I believe it was the first time that Nick had to come up to Indiana to meet my family, my kids, my parents, and we were getting ready to go on a walk. It was a nice day, and I had ran back inside for something, and Nick was outside playing with the kids in the front yard, keeping them busy while I did whatever it was that I was doing, and I went to the front door, and the screen door was closed, the main door was open, so I was standing there watching him playing with the kids, and my dad came up behind me and put his hands on my shoulder, and he told me, he said, "It looks like you won the lottery, because that's a $1 million man right there," watching him play with the kids, run around, and see them smile and laugh in a way that they haven't in a long time, and connect with someone who, you know, they hadn't done that in a long, long time.
The three of us, Nick, my dad, and myself, are so sarcastic, and we love to laugh and just be silly. I remember one time I had taken a bite of really hot food.
I think it was soup or noodles or something. I can't remember. But as soon as my mouth stopped burning, I kind of looked around at who was around, and I was like, "My mouth is on fire." And I just stopped. And simultaneously at the same time, me and my dad are both like, "My mouth is on fire." It was perfect. I definitely got my humor from him, and everybody in the whole room just started laughing because we both did that at the same time. I think I went over and gave him a high five.
He's so great with the kids, too. He taught two of the three kids to ride a bike. He loves to fish, so he'll take them fishing over the summer. I also remember doing that with him. Waking up at 5 a.m., stopping to get bait and a French vanilla cappuccino. And also stopping on the way home to get a Pepsi slushie.
My dad absolutely loves my kids. I mean, he's the best grandpa. We've been living at my parents' since I split with my boyfriend. That was, or my ex. That was 4 years ago now. So the children were just turning 3, just turning 4, and then going to be 6 shortly after. I think I might have those ages wrong. They were little. And my dad has been there through a lot of stuff. So I've taken a lot of road trips, and my dad definitely stepped in right where I would leave off. I got a call both times when both my oldest and my middle child, my son is my oldest, and my older of the two girls, both times I got calls that they were riding a bike. I'm like, wow. And he taught them how to ride a bike in like a day. Taught them that, and they've just been there through, you know, every first day of school and every lost tooth. My youngest just lost her first tooth not too long ago, and everything that you could ask for.
I don't have any bad memories growing up. We were a family. We did everything as a family. As an adult, I can see where my parents struggle, but as kids, they were great. If I could give my kids even a portion of what we had growing up, I'd be okay with that.
Ornery? Yeah. Definitely the girls I've seen. Sierra is my middle child's name, and she is my mini-me so much. And my parents were great parents. I mean, they're still together, and we were very much a family unit. We did everything as a family, and they've definitely continued that on. So, like, recently, it's, you know, close to Christmas, so we've been, every weekend, we'll sit down and we'll watch a Christmas movie together, and which is similar to things that we did as children. We would have every Friday when I was growing up, we'd have camp out nights. So we would drag all of our pillows and our blankets and everything into the living room and eat popcorn and watch a movie. And it's nice to be able to continue things on with my kids like that.
My dad is always there to remind you that it could be worse. You could have broken bones or be sick or depressed, but he'll be the one to point out how far you've come. It has changed my life to have that mindset. My mom is great too. It's so cool to have gone through so much and come out on the other side and actually be able to talk to my mom. She makes me see that no matter what age you are, there's always room to change or be better. Life is always changing.
My mom's a lot quieter than my dad. My dad's definitely more outgoing and outspoken. My mom likes her time to herself, and one thing that her and I and my youngest sister have in common is we all love to sing. And I have been trying for the last year, 6 months. My youngest sister turned 21 in July, and I have been trying ever since then to get the three of us together to go sing karaoke, because that's one of the only things we have in common. And it's not easy. I'm going to do it eventually, but when you've got three kids and the only person who's there to watch them is my parents, and I'm taking one of them away, and we might need a driver to get home, that doesn't leave you a lot of options. When I was little, I remember my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and we were homeschooled for quite some time, and we just did, like I said, we did everything together, whether that was sliding across the kitchen floor in our swimsuits to wash the floor while she's at home and my dad's at work, or making peanut butter, or whatever it was that we could figure out to do together. That's what we did. And a lot of times you can find her in her chair knitting, or, they've got this newfangled thing called diamond dots. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's kind of like paint by number, only instead of painting, you're sticking dots on these little numbers. She likes to do things where she's stationary. And so it's kind of like you always know where to find her if you ever need anything. You know, there's a lot of things that I don't remember about my childhood, and maybe it's because I was so young when I took on so much that I lost a lot of that just trying to get by. But, you know, you look back and there's always things that you wish your parents would have done this or they would have done this better, and I just don't have that. I mean, they were as much as you could ask for. Like I said, my dad worked at a machine shop for years, and my mom stayed home and took care of us, and when he changed jobs, he had a business. He had a food truck that he had owned for a little while, and they bought property and rented houses for a little while. So that was, I can remember, you know, tearing out bathtubs with my mom, and I can remember painting walls, and I can remember a lot of things. But I can't complain. I've told them before, if I could do half as much as they did for us, for my kids, I think I'd be doing okay.
There's nothing that I could give my parents that could ever tell them how much everything they have done for us means. From watching the kids so I can get my life started again, to putting up with us taking over their entire house.
We have basically managed to push them out of one entire side of the house. So we have a three-bedroom home that has, the garage has been converted to add two extra rooms. And my children and myself have managed to take over the three-bedroom part of the home. and my parents have now been pretty much pushed into the little garage area. When we took over their house, we pretty much took over their whole house. They gave it to us willingly, but when we move, we'll be taking a lot of the furniture, because there's things like the coffee table in the living room has shoe marks on it. Because, like I said, my children were very young when we moved in. And so chewing on everything was still a little bit of a problem. So, like, there's teeth marks all around one of the tables. So they're like, yeah, no, you can have that. You can take all this stuff with you.
Thank you for giving me a chance to be my best person. So much love has grown in this house. Through all the hell that we have been through, and it has indeed been hell, I would not change anything, not one thing, because if I had changed anything, we wouldn't be where we are today. It has made us who we are. So, so, so much love in this house and in all our hearts. I just want to give them something to show them how thankful I am.
So I met my fiance on this dating app. We exchanged numbers, realized there was 600 miles between us and that it wasn't going to work and we could continue to be friends. So after about a year of talking off and on, and just as friends and kind of being there when the other person needed a shoulder, I decided that maybe there was more there than I was willing to let on. He won't admit to it, but I'm pretty sure he kind of felt like there was something there the whole time. Otherwise, he wouldn't have kept talking to me. He had mentioned trying to maybe make this work, and I was like, not happening. I can't do 600 miles. It's too much. And one day, I remember we had pictures, a screensaver that was pictures flipping through that was not saved onto the computer of you know, family and friends. And my Sierra was asking me who everybody was that was flipping through that maybe she hadn't met yet. And she asked who a certain person was. And I said, well, that's my cousin, Nick. And she said, your boyfriend, Nick? And I said, no. I said, my cousin. And when she said that, I kind of knew. I was like, I must be talking about him enough that it's registering to the kids, and maybe I'm not realizing that there's more to what's going on than what I was willing to let on to. So at that point, I kind of started taking things seriously about where he and I were going. And over the course of the last 3 years, it's been, you know, every relationship has its trials, and ours is no different than anybody else's. And you know, you just have to be determined that I'm going to make this work. And that's what we did. And we have finally gotten to the point where we will be moving down there within the next, well, at this point, within the next month. I wanted to put my parents in a song because they've done so much that I could never repay them for. They have put up with me and the kids terrorizing their homes, and they've gone to all of the kids' school programs that they've had. They've gone through all the emotional trials that I've had to go through just trying to get to where I'm at now. It's just been a long road, and I don't think that there's a better way for them that I could say thank you than to give them this, because I know it'll mean so much more to them than anything I could ever physically give them.
And now, this is Hit the Road. Mistakes, I've calloused up my knees, I've had a few takes, but you keep raising me, you put me back on two wheels, give me a push and I feel, your love is stronger than my weakness.
falls softer on the pavement. Yeah, I might have scars and bruises, but it surely doesn't show when you're next to me when I hit the road. Memories we've got, well, they filled up all your rooms. And as I pack it up in boxes, I know that I've got this. Your love is stronger than my weakness. And now I fall softer on the pavement. Yeah, I might have scars and bruises, but it surely doesn't show when you're next to me when I hit the road.
With MBI Studios. All guests know they are being recorded and are willing to be. All music and songs are created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.